It's of our seat, as I also have my seat. Glory to God. For those of you who were lost during that last singing session, because you need interpretation of tongues, what we were singing simply was about the victory of Jesus, how that Jesus has given us victory by means of his redemption, by means of his blood. Hallelujah. And then we are victorious in him. Glory to God. Alright, so we are going to continue our series today. Blueprint for spiritual growth. Blueprint for spiritual growth. And I expect you to have your writing materials or Bible. Let's look into the Word of God. It's been an enlightening session. It's been a great time of teaching and learning and rediscovering basic things that make for growth. Many times when Christians complain about not getting results, you know, I've been a Christian for many years, but my result is not aligning with what I can see in scriptures. My experiences are far from what I can see in scriptures. It's because they do not understand how to go about this matter of spiritual growth. Amen. Let me say this to you. Do you know there are those who know how to make money? I hope you know that if they go from whatever they have today to zero, they know how to go back from zero to whatever they have now. There's a way to make money. Glory to God. And some people understand it. So when a man has an understanding of something or certain things, you know what to do. Amen. That's the meaning of being skilled in something. Being skilled. Once upon a time, we consulted a massage therapist, you know, to come attend to my mom. And when she came to the house, and my mom was complaining, you know, as she was complaining, you know, I feel pains. I can't sleep. She knew the exact places to touch. Amen. So she, as she touched, my mom would say, that place, yes. Then she would go to her, how did you know? She's a massage therapist. Glory to God. And they've been learned, they've been trained and skilled. They know the parts of the body that can be giving you issues. That is what it means to be taught and trained. So, a man that does not know how to grow, or a man that is struggling with spiritual growth, does not know the how. Hallelujah. Does not know. I don't care what he knows in this life. If he is struggling to grow in the spirit and grow in the things of the spirit, he does not yet understand what spiritual growth is. Amen. He doesn't know the path to take. And that's why we're having this study. And each time we teach on spiritual growth, it's an opportunity for us to make a rediscovery of that which is vital for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And I hope you've been seeing the impact of this teaching in your life. It's important. So let's go back to James chapter 1. James 1 and from verse 21. James 1, 21 to 25. See what James says? From verse 21. Hallelujah. By the way, these are my turn. How many of you still need fun? Praise God. Like, some of you have the nature of fish. Even in cold, you still be under AC. Hallelujah. Some of us, our nature is fire. I've always been on fire. Praise God. James chapter 1 from verse 21. Look at what James says. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to do what? Save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what manner or what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look. You know, we said this last week. He who continues to look. It is not he who continues in it as per trying to obey it. But he who continues to look at it. And we see other versions of the Bible that clearly explain this. So he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in his looking. And is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Glory to God. So let's write again. I said the word forget is the Greek word what now? By now you should know it. The word forget is the Greek word what? Huh? Oh, you don't know the pronunciation. epilantanomai, which means to what? To neglect. Glory to God. That's what it means to forget. So, forgetting God's word is not that you have poor memory and you can't retain. It's not about poor retention. It's not a memory problem. It's because you ignored the word. The reason why you've forgotten is because you did not pay attention to it. Hallelujah. For instance, sometimes you could ask somebody after this meeting and say, what's your name? Maybe you're seeing the person for the first time. The person tells you his or her name, and then you say, oh, that's great. And the next time you see the person, they're like, brother, you know, you're waiting for somebody to come and bail you around. Somebody to come and say, brother David. And say, yeah, David, because you forgot him. But can you forget the name of your wife? Imagine waking up and you say, sweetie, what's that your name again? Praise God. It's impossible. Why? Because you are used to it. You always call that name. Hallelujah. So that's forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is because the man is not using it regularly. He's not paying attention to the word. And I'm saying to you that this is like the norm for many believers. We assume and think we are actually paying attention to God's word, but we are not. You come to church on Sunday, you come to church on Wednesday, you go home, and you immediately do what? Forget what you heard. You ignore it through the week. You're not paying attention, you don't read your Bible, your Bible is dusty on the shelf until it's a service time. You pick it up again. Many are not paying attention to God's word, and they're expecting to have great and mighty results. It doesn't work that way. To forget means to ignore. Look at the word doer again. What is the Greek word for doer now? Poetis. What does it mean? It means a poet, a performer. Somebody who performs, who is a poet. And I said to you that this is a result of constant and gradual rehearsals. A poet does not just come out to daze people. He is performing based on what he has put inside on a regular basis. He puts it in. He rehearses his script. That is exactly what it means to be a doer of God's word. Your hearing perpetually is what leads to your doing. Glory to God. So before you get obsessed or get so occupied with how do I do the word? How do I do the word? I need to do the word. It is first about how to hear the word. Say to your neighbor, how to hear the word. That is the first thing to do. How do I hear? You know, because it's your hearing that leads to what? The doing. Glory to God. Now, look at this carefully again. James 1:22. How it says, but be doers of the word and not what? James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Deceiving your... What does it mean to be a hearer only? Do you remember? What does it mean to be a hearer only? I'm asking. So you see why we need to go over these things again? Okay. So I'll ask one more time. What does it mean to be a hearer only? Huh? To hear and stop hearing. And I said it is not that hear the word and then go and try to do it or perform it. It is hear the word, keep hearing it till it makes you do. So a hearer only is the person that shortchanges the process. A hearer only is the person that stops hearing. And the hearing does not become fruitful. You must hear till it makes you do. Glory to God. Why? Because your mind is the place where actions and reactions and thoughts and intentions flow from. So if you must change your lifestyle, you must change your mindset. You must change the state of your mind. And mindset is not something you've gotten somewhere and you've put it somewhere and say, this is my mindset. No, mindset is the state of your mind. Part time. So God's word must take a hold of your mind till a point where it becomes an influence. You know, there's this deception in the body of Christ, applying God's word. You look at the verse of the Bible. How do I apply this text? Imagine dealing with food that way. Bible refers to God's word as what? As food. You eat rice and now say, how do I apply? How does it enter this my leg? Amen. This is my hand that is not even too... How do I apply the vegetable? It's not like that. There's already a digestive system, a structure. That's why in the world, you don't need to actively try to apply evil informations to your life. Just expose your mind to it. It has an influence on you and you begin to act it out. Is that not it? You don't try to deliberately apply it. It is called influence. Hallelujah. Influence. Be in the midst of people who talk trash about the Christian faith, you will start nursing atheism in your thoughts. It's not you trying to apply whatever you heard. It became an influence all over you. So that's exactly how the word works. It is not read the verse of the Bible, how do I now apply this to my life? Oh, do not worry for anything. Oh, how do I not worry? You start getting worried. Amen. It is to expose my mind gradually to God's word, to a point where God's word becomes a dominant influence in my thoughts. So if my thoughts are changed, there is no way my actions will not change. Amen. So that's how the word works. Ask yourself this question. The disciples of Jesus, what did Jesus teach them on how to apply the word? Jesus said to them, you are clean by the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, I spoke to you gradually and it washed over you. And it brought about a result. So Peter was not somewhere trying to apply the scriptures to his life. He only exposed his mind to the ministry of Christ on a regular basis. And as he was exposed to that ministry, it had influence over his life. Glory to God. You know, do you know what is called transformation? I'm going to see it today. So it's not something you do by yourself. You don't eat and then you get on a scale and say, how much am I weighing today? You're not ready yet. It is to continue to eat. Amen. How many of you notice that when you grow around children, maybe somebody was born into your house and then one day you just notice the baby is growing. You know, it was not every day you were checking. Let me see the cheeks. Let me see the... No. One day you just... In fact, sometimes they grow taller around you without you knowing. You just look at them. Come here. Because feeding has produced what? Result. So, the consistent intake of God's word is what the Bible has called us to. So, the man that is a hearer only is the man that hears to no profit. He hears and stops so that the word of God does not have an effect. The man that hears and becomes a doer is the man that hears till the hearing translates into fruitfulness. Glory to God. Listen guys, influence does not happen in one day, does it? It does not. Even this bad influence we're talking about is not one day. You rub minds with people over a period of time till they rub on you. Or you rub on them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, Proverbs, so does a man the countenance of his friend. Over a period of time, you just notice that the man is already acting like his friend. In friendships, there are people who have dominant influences. Amen. That if you follow them, you will not influence them. They are the ones to influence you. So those are the ringleaders. Hallelujah. So, but you know, the influence is gradual. It's not a day's thing. That's the same way God's word affects us, guys. Hallelujah. Now let me read to you again this portion of scripture in different translations. James 1, 25. Which says, he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a hearer, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He's blessed in what he does. So, NIV says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Have you seen? The man who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues to do this, continues to look intently. Ask your neighbor, when last did you look intently into God's word? Get an answer. Ask your neighbor, when last did you look intently into God's word? And get an answer. When last? So, he says a man that continues to do it. Glory to God. So, it's not a one-time listening. It's not a Sunday thing or a Wednesday midweek service thing. It's listening every day, having a careful look at the scriptures, at the word of God. That is how influence is formed in the lives of men. Look at this other place. Or this other one, the NCV version. It says, but the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free, and they continue to study it. That's the interpretation or the translation and continues in it. And they continue to study it. So you don't study today and move away. You study and you keep doing what? Studying. Hallelujah. And that is what now begs what? A transformation. Look at the last one. The next version. It says, but the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there. And does what? Fixes his attention there. Glory to God. That is the man that will not become a forgetful hearer. Can you forget what you just read? Can you forget what you just listened to yesterday? Can you forget what you just paid attention to this morning? If you are so consumed and overwhelmed by the word of God to a point where you are always revisiting the things you have learned, is it possible to forget it? It's impossible. So the forgetful man is the man that is not paying attention. The man that moves on from the word. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it the same reason why when we are in school and we're in class and we see students who start classes, we already know how they'll turn out. Start classes and it's not like they are reading. We already know that by the time the exam period comes, they will start panicking. They'll start looking for expo. The ones that write on their thighs, write on their palm, write on the ceiling. You know, very, very crookish things. Back on campus, back in school, some students already knew the seat number. They've gone to write things on the floor. Formula of mathematics. Amen. Very funny things. Because they did not prepare. Because they did not learn as they should. So we already can predict an outcome because of your commitment. So it's important that we realize that the place God expects us to spend our time first and invest our efforts where spiritual growth is concerned is in the place of what? Hearing. Hearing and hearing and hearing again. So put this down in your note again. I said, by the way, you should be writing, just write. So your first work is what? Is hearing. Write that in your note again. Your first work is hearing. Your first work is hearing. Hearing is what lays the foundation for doing. Your first work is hearing. Hearing is what lays the foundation for doing. Glory to God. If you don't hear or you stop hearing, forget about doing. It's a simple blueprint. If you don't fix your hearing, you don't focus on your hearing, forget about doing. You will struggle. But if you fix your hearing, it will produce the fruits, the actions. It will lead to the doing. Glory to God. Now, if you look at verse 22 again, carefully. James says, don't be hearers only. And I explained hearers only. He says, deceiving who? Who are you deceiving when you don't keep listening till the birth grows? Yourself. So, it speaks of a self-delusion. That is, you are not paying attention like you should, but you expect the right result. So, it's a deception. Such a man is nothing, self-delusion. And you know, we don't even have this kind of expectation for other things. I can give an example. It's only in the body of Christ, in the church, people have weird expectations where there's no commitment. Weird expectations. Something will just come upon you and you just grow. Hallelujah. Something will just happen, a miraculous turn around and you just start preaching the gospel all over the world. It does not happen that way. You're in a meeting, you don't study, you don't pay attention, you're not committed, you come for a meeting, and as the meeting is going on, everywhere is charged, you know, there's musical instrument, and everywhere is charged, and you're so excited, and you're like, man, I'm in for an encounter today, and your wind is blowing, and you're like, wow, this is it. It could just be the AC. Hallelujah. It could just be the AC. Because, see, growth does not fall on people like ripe cherries. It's a result of consistent and diligent effort. And if you are not putting in that effort, forget about it. Amen. Forget about it. So the man deceives himself. The word deceive there just means delusion. And it's self-delusion. You are not paying attention like you should, but you are expecting the right result. You don't go to class, but you want to blast your papers. Amen. The doctor prescribes a drug for you and then you say, in 3 days' time, I'm going to be fine. How do you plan to be fine? Well, I'll just be fine. I've gotten the drug. Will you use it? I don't really like drugs. You don't like to be well. Amen. There's no way you'll be fine unless you are healed by the power of God. Amen. So there's a prescription. When you go and meet the doctor and you say, I used this drug, it didn't work, and they say, how did you use it? You know, sometimes they even tell you the number of hours that should be between them. They tell you 8 hours interval. There was one that parents went to buy, brought to me. And that one, they said 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. 6 hours, 8 hours, intervals. So imagine you are just used to 2 times daily. You take it. You take in the morning, you take in the night. You think you are making sense. The prescription is the first one should have a gap of 6 hours, then the second one 8 hours. I think one had a full day between it that you are not meant to use at all. Prescription. So in the word of God, we have God's prescription, right? And what is that prescription? Colossians 3:16. Popular scripture. What is God's prescription? Before you come and say God's word is not working, have you used the word according to God's prescription? Colossians 3:16, what is there? Let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you. How? Richly. What is richly? Richly. Copiously. Let it abound in you. Let the word of God dwell in you intensely. That is God's prescription. Amen. And oftentimes, I've quoted Hebrews 11:6. Bible says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of who? Of those who what? You know, some people have blinded their eyes away from the diligently. Because there's a prescription there. God is a rewarder of those who what? There's diligence required. The man must be found committed. We must look at your life and see commitment, diligence, a desire to grow, to learn. That is evidenced by your actions, your pursuit. You know, a man's desire shows in his pursuit. Don't see. If you say, I love the word though, I desire the word though, and you are not pursuing it. Whatever you are pursuing right now, intensely, is what you love. A man's desire is shown in his pursuit. Glory to God. It's shown in his pursuit. So God's prescription is to learn the word and let it dwell in you and abide in you, abound in you copiously. For a number of years now, when people come around me and say, Pastor, you know, I've been very troubled, worried. I used to have nightmares. I cannot sleep well. My mind is just agitated. I am not calm. I'm not at peace. Before I start saying anything, I just say, you have not been feeding on God's word. I have never missed it. Amen. You see, that diagnosis is an eternal one. It can never fail. Before you start talking about many things, just say, you've not been feeding on God's word like you should. The person says, it's true. It's true. But apart from that, no. That's the problem. Hallelujah. Your attention to God's word is minimal. It is not up to biblical standards, so you cannot get the same results you're expecting. Amen. This person is so bad-tempered. This person is so riotous. This person is this and that. What is the solution? Feed on the word of God. I'm addicted to pornography. How do I break? You have not been feeding on God. See, addiction to pornography will die when a man's mind is addicted to the word of God. It's a new addiction. You can't mind it. You can't. Oh God. Hallelujah. God's word works. But are we ready to do it the way it is prescribed in the Bible? Amen. You know, the first week I gave recommended teachings. Some people came back and they didn't listen at all. Some people came back, and you know, that's reflective of habit. It's been built over the years as a habit. So, and such people will assume that they were committed to God's word. Because they show up in church every Sunday and every Wednesday. The commitment has to be a daily thing. That is what changes people's lives. So recommended teachings, you struggled the first week. The second week is here. The third week, we are already in the third week. What is your commitment now? Some others are already giving powerful testimonies. I couldn't stop praying. I couldn't, man, I used to have trouble in my sleep. I've been sleeping soundly. Some others are not doing anything and they want to have the same experience with those who are committed. It's impossible. Hallelujah. It's impossible. So your commitment is what determines your experience. Write that in your notes. Your commitment is what determines your experience. That's the only thing that will change the game. The manner of commitment. Glory to God. The manner of commitment. So let's walk through the ministry of Jesus. Let's probe the ministry of Jesus. Look at the pattern of Jesus' teaching ministry. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 49. This one is disturbing my note. Matthew 14. 49. Hallelujah. Look at the pattern of Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus understood that men will not understand anything or make any progress or have any impact in their lives unless they have attention to God's word daily. So, it informed how he went about carrying out his ministry. Matthew 14, 49. Are we all there? Glory to God. Matthew 14, 49. Can we all read together? Matthew 14, 49. Let's all read together. Oh, sorry. Mark 14, 49. Is it Mark now or Luke, sir? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we there? Mark 14, 49. So let's all read together. I want to go. I was daily with you where? And doing what? Teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. So how did Jesus teach in his ministry? Daily, where? In the temple. Luke 19:47. You know, Luke says, and he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. He was teaching daily in the temple. Look at the early church, Acts 2:42-46. A daily involvement. How was the early church able to produce men sound in the faith, men sound in the knowledge of Christ, men sound in their conduct? I'm not just talking about some head knowledge or premature encounter. I'm talking about a man who has fed on the word to a point where it has influenced and informed a lifestyle. How were they able to do that? Acts 2:42-46. Listen carefully. Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued how? Steadfastly. Amen. In the apostles' doctrine, that is, they were being taught regularly. Verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Fear came upon every soul. Reverence for God was the result of their involvement with God's word. Hallelujah. Reverence. Look at verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possession and goods and divided them among themselves, you know, as anyone had need. Another major evidence of their growth was the fact that they were able to love themselves. Men were parting with their belongings and their goods to cater for others. People did not count it a big deal to sell their house. You have like 2-3 houses, you sell off one, you sell off a land, and you bring the money to cater for the saints. You know, that did not come because they were telling them, you must sow a seed though. It came because they were growing, and they felt a need to love themselves. Glory to God. That's another sign, a major result of their consistency in receiving God's word. Look at verse 46. So continuing how... Let's read together verse 46. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were teaching every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 5 and verse 40-42. You know, I said to you, today it seems impossible for us to gather every day. We did it once in this place, in this environment. We gathered every day for a whole year. Amen. Every day, evenings. You come back from work, you fall in. Anytime, just join us and we pray. It was not a mandatory meeting because we know it's not feasible for anybody, for everybody. But for those who could come, we did it. And I'm believing God that as the church, as we grow as a church, we have clusters in different places. So we have people at the Keja, Lekki, we have people of all those places where church members are. We have people in those different places where you are coming back from work, you can just fall in and have a great time. Glory to God. It's practicable. So it might not be practicable as in all of us here must gather every day. But we can have it in different smaller groups. Amen. Because that was a major backbone for the early church. A daily gathering. Now, before then, we have the benefit of technology. And that's why we are recommending daily teachings. A message you must listen to every day and take notes. And listen, it's going to get the same result. Do you get what I'm saying? The same result. Because you are learning God's word. The only difference is that you are not in the midst of physical people, you know, taking notes and paying attention. But if you pay attention to it, the same way you are paying attention now, you will grow. It will get the same result. So we must not trivialize this approach to learning God's word. Don't take the recommended teachings as some yoke upon your neck that you cannot bear. You can bear it. Amen. You can actually commit. Let me now give you a secret. The more you commit, the more you get addicted. The more you get more delighted in it. It is the starting point that is always the hardest. By the time you get in the flow, because God's word is already working in your heart, you will feel like learning over and over again. We came to church yesterday. We spent almost all day in church. And then at the end of the day, I went to check out something with a fellow in this place. I went to check out something. And then we came back. The person went home. I branched to my barber's place. Went to cut my hair. I got in late in the night around past 10. You know, I still went to pick the tape. Listened and began to write. Do you see? It was not because I was afraid somebody is going to mark my notes after today's meeting. None of you here will mark my notes. Amen. Are you aware? None of you here will say, Pastor, let me see your note. If you say it and you want to see it because you're a doubter, I'll give it to you. But I mean, you don't have such authority to say, bring your note here. You can't do it. So it was not because somebody was going to check my notes. Ha! I was enjoying God's word. Hallelujah. I was enjoying God's word. I wanted my mind to be nourished and enriched again. So it was not because of anything. It was because I was enjoying it. It was having the right effect. Hallelujah. So I went to listen again. So, you know, that's how you can be very tired in your body, but then when they now bring barbecue around you like this, you all bring it. And your tiredness just begins to leave. Praise God. Some people are so tired they cannot eat. But they will still try it. Maybe I should just taste more. Because, see, that's food. Amen. It's the same way you are tired and they bring a movie that is trending that you've been desiring to watch. You never got a chance to. And then somebody brings it and says, I'm traveling tomorrow. It's not on Flash. It's on a DVD. You now stay awake. You get water. Yeah, I must not say, you want to see it. There's interest. So God's word can delight you to a point where you are so excited about the word, you don't want to miss a day without taking it. So, and it's a gradual addiction. Amen. Start. You just start. Hallelujah. The major problem for many people is that starting point. Procrastination. It comes to you to read it, to start listening to the tape now, and then you say, Shebi, I still have a long day ahead of me. Ah, my Lord, fall for you. That long day ahead of you, you may not come back to it. Amen. You may not come back to it. That long day ahead of you, there are many other things that God's word will have been able to help you withstand that will now throw you down. By the time you finish that day, you don't even have any interest to learn anything. You've gone to read something on Twitter. You've seen a scandal that broke out about a popular pastor. Oh God, where are we going in the body of Christ? But you know, if you have fed your mind with the word of God, that won't be the first reaction. Amen. See, you know the reason why people get shaken when a scandal breaks out in the body of Christ? They themselves are not growing. So the man of God is like the reference, is like the standard. No scandal in this world has shaken me to make me say, this Bible, hey, who then can be saved? No, I know what may I believe though. God's word is working in my own life. You get it? So immediately I see it, I just tell people, I say, no, don't be deceived. The man is not growing. The man did not pay attention to God's word. Forget ministry, paparazzi. See, I can teach for days without studying. Amen. You don't know. It's possible to teach for days without studying. It's possible to teach for a whole year without studying the Bible for yourself. You just sit down. You are writing notes. You are writing notes. The Greek word for kinikon is epignosis. You work on epignosis here. The Greek word for, you know, nothing is changing in your life, but you are preparing notes. Several years back, I used to have a book on, you know, homiletics, how to preach and how to deliver sermons. And the man said, one of the perils of preachers is the peril of professionalism. The man has become a professional presenter, like a radio or TV host. He knows how to prepare notes. Such an eloquent talker. But the man is not growing. Listen, guys, do you know you can be cooking for people and you have ulcer? Because you are not eating. In fact, some people will cook after they are done cooking. They will say, "What do you want to see me? Ah, what do you want to see? You better eat. Because if you don't eat, ulcer is going to knock on your door and enter." So there are people who are busy cooking for others. You know what Paul told Timothy? He says, "To take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine, for in so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Some are paying attention to others and not to themselves. Glory to God. See, any intelligent person can deliver a well-prepared sermon. Any intelligent person. As long as you are smart. You see, that's the reason why after this meeting, you can pick your notes and teach it, and it will seem as though you understand what you are saying. Like you really understand it. Because you are smart. Are you not educated? So you will present it well. Look at Apollos. Apollos, how many things did he know? Bible says all he knew was the baptism of John. Yet the man was talking. Bible says he was mighty in scriptures and eloquent. How many things did he know? But he was a good speaker. Unlike Paul. Paul says, though I'm untrained in speech, I am not in knowledge. Paul was not a wowing preacher. Paul could not impress you with his speech. In fact, the Corinthians said about Paul, they said his bodily presence is weak and contemptible. But his letters are weighty. When Paul writes a letter to you, you want to run out of the church. When Paul rebukes you in his letters, God is here. But in their midst, he was like a child. He was not as articulate. Glory to God. So, see, you can be eloquent. You can be a good presenter. Don't be deceived. It's about first paying attention to God's word for yourself. I must grow. Amen. Listen, what I'm saying, what I'm telling you, it has happened to me before. I'm telling you also from experience. You can teach people for 6 months and you are not growing yourself. You can teach people for 2-3 years and you're always teaching. So when you get home, you are so tired, you are used up, and then you have to prepare. So it becomes a duty to just feed others. But you are not even growing. You are not refreshed. Amen. So don't be deceived. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the spirit. You shall know what? So a man that fulfills the lust of the flesh, is he walking in the spirit? But he's an evangelist. He is not walking in the spirit. He shall not. The works of the flesh are what? Evident. Once we can see those evidences, you are not walking in the spirit. No matter how grandiose you sound on the pulpit. Glory to God. They don't say, I know a bishop, I know a kinikon, and because of that, you start despising God's word. The bishop's experience is not what you are meant to use to judge the potency of God's word. You pay attention to it for 2 months. Every day, just feed, 2 hours, listen to God's word, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours, be paying attention. Let's see. Immediately, you'll be able to diagnose anybody that has a contrary experience. That the reason why they are not growing is because they are not feeding. Glory to God. So the reason why, you know, those things shake people in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for example. I mean, leaders should be exemplary because it's not everybody that is strong in the faith. So, but the reason for that is because people themselves are not growing in the faith. So you are destabilized. A whole man of God, who is he? A whole preacher, who is he? Is it Jesus? Hallelujah. So Jesus is your example and pattern. If you do it like he did it, you'll get the same result. Glory be to God. God, look at what Paul told people in Ephesus. He said to them, he said, I have coveted no man's silver and gold. He stood in their midst and he was saying that. And nobody could come out and say, Apostle, what are you saying? Those guys were talking about their lifestyle. They were so confident. Because God's word worked in their lives. Because of the way they paid attention to it. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he says, you are witnesses how we behaved ourselves in your midst, blamelessly and justly. Glory to God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, he says, see, hey, I know nothing against myself, but he who judges me is still the Lord. Paul said to Timothy, you know my doctrine, my manner of life. You know, these days, the preacher is so far away from the audience or the congregation, and then all you see on a Sunday like this is the preacher preaching and just dramatizing and explaining things. But in those days, those guys were in close interactions and relationships with many of their proteges. So that's why he said, you know my manner of life. You lived with me. You saw me live every day. They were so transparent. And that was because of the effect of God's word in their lives. Never assume that Paul was very disciplined. He was, No. The discipline is first about a continuous intake of God's word. So when a man does that, it now produces the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is not you trying to control yourself. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is the Spirit controlling the man. Hallelujah. The Spirit doing what? That's the same way the flesh also rules and dominates and controls men. Have you ever heard people say, I did not even know when I did it. I just didn't know what came over me. The flesh ruled him. So self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is not the man being very disciplined and, you know, very, he says he will not do it and he will not do it. No, it is the Holy Ghost, having dominated his mind, now controlling his actions. That's why we cannot overemphasize the place of a diligent commitment to God's word. That is what works. Hallelujah. Both for the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, and the members of the church, the same thing. So if the pastor defaults, his life will stay otherwise. If the member is committed, the member will grow. In fact, the member will grow to a point where he will have to leave the church. Where are this pastor? Pastor, you are not growing. You are not growing. You are in a discussion and the man is just misyanning. You go out together. Somebody bashes his car, he gets down, removes his, he says, he folds his shirt and begins to exchange blow. Your pastor. And you are in the car praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh Jesus. You are scared. The pastor comes, the pastor, what was that? No. Were we not somewhere before we met Jesus? You think we have let it go? I was a black belter, campus days. Go and ask me. Don't ask about me. I was the leader of Aye. Hey! Hallelujah. I said, oh, she walara. You know, during the NSAS, people were saying those things, NSAS protest. Some Christians said, people, they think they are mad. Oh, she walara, wow. Oh, walara. Iwakuwa. What's kilo walara? Put off the old man with his deeds. Those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. You should get to a point where you cannot act like the world. Not say, oh my walara, me no. Modanu iwakuwa niu. Hallelujah. So imagine you have a leader who is hot tempered. At the church where the pastor was preaching and the mic went off. And as the mic went off, he looked at the technical device. What's wrong with you? What is going on? And he stoned one of them with the mic. I've told you. A pastor. Hallelujah. A video was circulating social media last week. A pastor. He just came and took the mic while they were leading praise worship. Just took the mic and said, don't come late to this church again. If you think you'll be coming late to this church, and the parrot was on camera. Under the guise of being strict. I thought they were singing to God. So you were so distracted. You couldn't let go the fact that they came late. And wait till after service to carefully address it. You had to come and vex on camera. That's bad temper. Hallelujah. If a member of the church does it, what do we say is bad temper? You come to church, you cannot wait till after service, and you start fighting somebody. You start getting angry. We say, But when the pastor does it, we say, no, he's authoritative. He's being strict. He's not strict. The man has poor control over his emotions. So, but if you pay attention to God's word, your own life will now bear fruit. You'll now be wondering why pastor is like that. Amen. Why is pastor like this? Why is it that pastor cannot forgive? Once he gets angry with somebody and he cuts off relationship, he cannot forgive. Amen. Some people will say, from today, I have nothing to do with you again. Pastor, but Bible says to forgive one another, to bear with one another. No! We can bear with one another from afar. Forgiveness does not mean we must be reconciled. Forgiveness is not in scripture. The man is struggling. Forgiveness does not mean we must be. Bible says if any of you comes to the altar and you bring your gift and you remember that you have an offense against your brother, drop your gift and first go and be reconciled with your brother. That is how to forgive in Christ. The man says, so we can, it does not mean we have to relate again. What destroyed the relationship was the offense. If you forgive it, the relationship should be restored. Do you get? If things don't remain the same again because we offended ourselves, we have not forgiven ourselves. But people will now explain it away because the man is struggling. Amen. Some people will come from a reconciliation meeting and still fight. I've come to reconcile. Now hug yourselves. You know those funny reconciliation meetings? Hug yourselves. What happened? He was holding me too much. The man is still angry. It has not gone down. He's too angry. But God's word is able to bear the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. Long suffering. Hallelujah. That forbearing with one another is a fruit of the Spirit. You just let it go. You just let it go. Hallelujah. You just let it go. But without the word of God, forget it. You will be a master in keeping malice, in working in offenses, in cutting people off out of your life, in unforgiveness, and you'll be saying, and you know, you will have a basis for not forgiving people. If you want a legitimate reason for not forgiving, you have enough. But when the word of God works in your life, you will not even see that reason. You will just continue. Glory to God. You just continue. Can a man rob you? Let me start, let me not give some very deadly examples. Amen. You know, because when we teach forgiveness in the body of Christ, we used to cite things that are practicable, even for the natural man. If he steps on your toes after the meeting, or he does not remember to call you on your birthday, forgive now. Yes, yes, forgive. Amen. What if he kills your fiancé? Forgive one another. Forgiveness. Oh, easy now. Oh, John Jeremy, I let it go. Oh, your fears, you already, as you were preparing for wedding, you've gone to consult people to do your suit. The person has ordered wedding gown. You already prepared doing, what is it? Pre-wedding shoot. You're already posting on Friday night. Gunshot. In the environment. What's happening? Is that banga? Is that going to go? Chief so. And you discovered your wife was involved. Amen. I know you are saying, Oloma Jarela Buru. I'm not saying Oloma Shelley. I'm just painting the scenario. It's possible. So you hear your wife was involved. Won't you be shattered? Normal. It will be painful and hurting so deep. The wound is deep. It has cut you severely. Then 5 years after, you try to move on. After several therapies here and there, you try to move on. A brother now walked into church. As you were done preaching as the man of God, after service, he comes to meet you. He says, I have a confession. He said we should do restitution in our church. Praise God. Restitution, I don't get this. Go and meet your pastor. No, it's about you. You know, you see, when I was in the world, praise God. You already know where I'm going, Abby. When I was in the world, I used to be a robber. Yeah, we rob beast. Praise God. And we went to rob one night. We killed the bride. So we were able to trace it that it was you were about to get married that day. Where did you say you were in? You are going back to the world today.
But you will go back to the world.
Hallelujah.
Jail. You are dead. I'm not an evangelist.
Evangelist.
You go and preach in prison.
Hey, but you know it's possible to forgive that wrong. Do you know it's possible to just break down in tears and consider how the person was under satanic influence when he was doing all that? And see, man, thank God you are saved. That can be your reaction, but it will not be. If you don't feed on God's word. You know, as you are sitting there, as you are sitting, I was a robber. You already know where the story is going. I didn't hear you well. A robber, okay, so what happened? Amen. So we went to rob in one place, in one hotel room. When was this again? 5 years ago. 5 years ago. Okay, I'm hearing you. You're already mad. And they are done like this. Ushers, come, quickly. Tie this man hand and foot. He's not going anywhere. Atimu. You can respond with the love of God. Jesus, it was not his fiancée they killed. It was him they were killing. And he said, Father, forgive them. Because they do not know what they are doing. Don't go and try it. If you don't have the same capacity as he had. And it's so practical for everybody that Stephen had the same reaction. When they were stoning him to death. Oh, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Hallelujah. You can forgive like Jesus does. But it takes feeding on God's word. You know, Bible says, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the what? Of the fullness of Christ. There's such a thing as coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Where a man is able to walk like Jesus. Where people will look at your life and say, he's faking it. Our Christians, they want real. Glory to God. Listen, because what a lot of people think we are saying is, forgive. Even though you don't have to say, just forgive. So you say, I'm forgiving the man, then you go home. Ujola Pastor. Ujola Pastor knew. Then you go, you are angry. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is, whether the pastor is there or not, it's not about eye service. You have a nature and a disposition that can make you forgive. Glory to God. God's word works, but are we ready to receive it like we should receive it? Amen. Before the end of this series, I'm going to share with you remarkable testimonials of how God's word affected different individuals over the years. Remarkable. The life is changed and you are wondering, is this even possible? It is the power of God's word. Because the person paid attention as he should. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles 17, verse 16 to 17. A daily intake of God's word was even what worked for the Bereans. They were not believers yet, but they had a daily commitment. Acts 17, 11 to 12. Are we still here? Acts 17, 11 to 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now says, all these Christians, let's just keep pretending. It's not everybody that is pretending. Some people have been transformed. Hallelujah. It's not everybody that is pretending. Some people are growing and maturing. So it's not pretense. If your experience is not lining up, it is because you are not doing what you are meant to do. You know, that's the mindset of some people in the church. We are all just pretending. We are not all pretending. Some people have been changed. Hallelujah. Because of their commitments. I said to you, it's your commitment that determines what? Your experience. Acts 17, 11 to 12. Look at the Bereans. Bible says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and said the scriptures how long? How often? Daily, to find out whether these things were so. Look at the resultant effect. Verse 12. Therefore, because of this, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. They fed on it daily. They said the scriptures daily, till a point where faith was born in their hearts. It's the same way a believer that wants to mature and grow in the faith must feed on it daily. Imagine how the Bereans will have related with the instruction of Paul at Colossians 2, 6 to 7. As you therefore have received the Lord Jesus, so continue in it. You know, they understood how they received him. they will continue to search the scriptures daily. Because that is what will make you rooted and established in Christ. That is the only pathway, the only sure way to spiritual maturity. The moment you neglect it, forget it, you will struggle. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 17:16-17. Acts 17:16-17. Glory to God. Acts 17:16-17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. So what did he do? Verse 17. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentiles worshippers, and in the marketplace. How often? Daily with those who happen to be there. Glory to God. A daily commitment. Acts 19:8-10. Are you underlining daily? That is it. That is it. That is what gets the job done. A daily approach. You know, Bible likens us to bearing fruit, Abby, like a tree. So imagine you plant a seed and then it doesn't get sunlight for a long time. Then get it again on Wednesday and get it again on Friday and there's no sunlight again. You know, do you know that seed will die? That's why when it's dry season, plants and seeds don't thrive well. Because there's no water enough, the ground is dry, it's not moist, so they can't survive. So a daily thing, a daily nourishment is what changes lives. Acts 19:8-10. Bible says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning how long, how often, daily in the school of Tyrannus. Verse 10, and this continued for how many years? You think those guys will be like a Christian in the 21st century who comes to church only on Sundays and on Wednesdays, does not pay due attention to God's word through the week? You think they will have the same effect? For 2 years, a man was teaching them daily. 2 years. At a stretch. There was no day they didn't hear God's word. The qualitative teaching, you know Paul now? So imagine Paul teaching you for 2 years straight. Their lives changed. Hallelujah. Do you know that in the early church, it didn't take more than 2-3 years for them to appoint leaders and pastors over churches? Yes, because of the manner of training. Paul left the Ephesians after he had taught them for three years and he appointed pastors over them, elders. They were fit enough to train them and teach them. Because of the way they had been taught every day. You know, spiritual growth is not the same as physical growth. We're talking about your mind, influence. So don't assume, you will not grow well until you spend 12 years. No, it's not physical growth. In few weeks and months, you're already seeing the result of growth. Because it's about knowledge impacting your mind. It's the same way in a few months, you can become skilled in anything you pick up. Do you get it? So it's about the mind. So the growth is different. It is not going to take all the time. Your mind exposed to the word, gradually you will see the results. Hallelujah. You know, we need to have a honest appraisal of ourselves. A honest appraisal. Have you ever had a commitment to God's word, listening 2 hours daily, 1 hour plus daily, 2 hours daily, for 3 months without break? Hallelujah. Without break. I kid you not, many Christians don't even have 1 week. Many Christians don't have 2 weeks of consistency. That daily, you listen every day, you take notes like a student. Many Christians don't have 2 weeks. But you want growth. Like the early church. She means the early church we are seeing here. 2 years, they had to converge in the school of Tyrannus. And Paul was teaching them for 2 years. Look at this place. Acts of Apostles 20:17-32. I'm not one of those people that will deceive you. Just memorize a verse of the Bible one day and say your confession in the morning. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You are good for the day. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You will sin throughout the day. If that is all you are doing for your spiritual growth, you will be the righteousness of God that is sinning in this world. That thing is not what you need for growth. It should come. It should be one of those very other things. Just like devotionals. I don't expect you to say, my growth is based on devotional. Amen. Then you read TSK devotion, life and spirit devotion. Then you open heavens. Praise God. After open heavens, closed hell. Praise God. You know, you are just reading all kinds of devotionals. Say, it's devotional that will bring growth. Hey. Devotional, how long do you read the devotional? It's just some 5-10 minutes you are done. Amen. Huh? They are just key points. Hallelujah. So, I don't expect you to base your spiritual growth on that. There should be some commitment. Quality time. Glory to God. 2 hours. You know, I kept emphasizing 2 hours at least in that stuff. Because that's how I do it. So, I will only give you a prescription that works for me. So 2 hours at least. Now, if you cannot do 2 hours at least, start with 1 hour plus. Stay with it. Glory to God. And let us see God's word work in your life. See, when the word of God works in people's lives, even the preacher or the pastor is amazed. You know, I didn't even know you were going to turn out like this. I know the fruit of the Spirit, but the way it's manifesting in your life, I didn't have an idea. Hallelujah. I did not have an idea. I mean, how do you judge the case of somebody whose husband was killed? I've shared this story before. And then went to the same island to convert everybody and says, that's a revenge mission. It's gross. Amen. It's gross. Somebody else will have gone there with a bazooka. Okay? I wonder. Chow here. Spray everybody. See, but they are not born again. To hell with them. To hell with them. Are they fit to live? If they are born again, what's the use? The man is angry. It's so funny that somebody can be so bad and terrible. He has killed sinners who have gone to hell, and God will save him and he goes to heaven. God does not share in your sentiment. The thief on the cross that met with Jesus on the cross was a murderer. Amen. Was a murderer. And on that cross, he found the gospel. Amen. You know why? God would rather save one of them than lose both of them. So it's just unfortunate that the person did not get saved before the thief actually killed him. It's so unfortunate. Now, he cannot say, it was because they killed me. It was because you did not believe the gospel. What they took from you was your physical death, or physical life. They did not take eternal life from you. Your going to hell is not because they killed you on time. It was because you did not believe the gospel. It's so terrible. I mean, but it works that way. Because God looks at the world and says, they are all under satanic influence. So God is not sharing in that sentiment of, I will pay this one back. You too, you will not come to heaven. No. If he receives the gospel, he is saved. Hallelujah. If the law of the land catches up with him, he goes to jail. And from jail, he goes to heaven. Praise God. Do you know? He goes to heaven from jail. But God saves his soul irrespective of his deeds and of his actions. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 20 now. Acts 20, 17 to 32. Glory to God. Acts 17, 32. Acts 20 rather, 17 to 32. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. Have you seen? Serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that would happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also, among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Verse 31. Let's all read together. Therefore, watch and remember that what? That for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone. How many times? Night and day with tears for 3 years. He was teaching and warning them night and day. They were well taught. Hallelujah. They were well taught. Verse 32 now says, I commend you. As he was about to take his leave of them, he now says, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The same thing I have taught you over and over again, I'm handing you over to it. Endeavor to continue in it. Because their growth, maturity, and spiritual experience was going to be hinged on their continuity and consistency in the same. Glory to God. So you see, guys, we can't be joking about this, this idea of daily commitment. Don't buy the deception of, I'm so busy, I don't have time, my workplace, my family, my desire. No, it's a deception. Hallelujah. You need to clear your desk and draw a plan. Have a schedule. When do I go to work? I wake up by 6 or maybe 7. That means I have to wake up on time to pay attention to God's word. When do I come back from work? Do I get stuck in traffic? If you get stuck in traffic, get a notepad. Get your tape. When you are coming back, everybody is doing every other thing. You are paying attention and taking notes. Amen. Because you know your time is precious. You can't join them saying, just like it all gets. When will they even fix it? Well, see, all those things are secondary. You are paying attention to your own life. So, you draw a schedule that works for you. That's what we're saying. Hallelujah. Because once you enter the rat race of busyness, we are so busy, there's no time for God's word, you've already embraced a delusion that you can only deliver yourself from. Take active steps to walk out of that, you know, that place of being choked and entangled by the affairs of this life. Glory to God. So God's word works, right? It works. But we must use it based on what? Prescription. Look at Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. No, I said, I've emphasized many times we focus on the doing part. I want to do the word. Don't focus on the doing. Focus on the hearing. Hear it again till you do. When Jesus appeared on the scene and the Father bore witness to him, he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. What should you do with him? Hear him. That's what you are to do. Hear. And as you hear, it will change your life. Glory to God. In fact, put this in your note. Every other thing we're expected to do as Christians, they are activities. Prayer, preaching of the gospel, loving people, forgiving people, they are actions, they are activities. Do you know that God's word is not on the same level with them? Most times people think God's word is on the same level with every other thing. So some will say to you, word and prayer, both are equally important. They are equally important. But you see, there's a perspective that works where you are not seeing that they are on the same footing. Amen. Because it is the word that produces all those activities. So they are not on the same level. All others are activities and actions. God's word is food. Do you get that? God's word is what? Food for nourishment. So, let's use the example of an athlete. He's a runner, and then he practices and trains. And then he's practicing and training. That's the activity. And then he does not feed well. Amen? Or he does not drink water. How many of us know Usain Bolt? You know, he's such a runner. That guy, have they broken his record? They've not, they may never. Praise God. Anybody that will break it must be ready to die after he successfully breaks it. Praise God. that was too fast. But I know somebody will break it. And that one too will now be very hard. So, but I mean, as skillful as he is, as fast a runner as he is, if he does not eat, just pick him. Before the day of the competition, just kidnap Usain Bolt. Please, don't record this. I'm not saying you kidnap. Don't kidnap Usain Bolt. And as you kidnap him, put him in a place, no food. He has declared missing, people are shouting, then release him on the day of the competition. And the man says, I'll still try. Overlord Kunia. He cannot try. He is skillful. His muscles are still there. Everything is balanced. But surely, okuninu. That's what Yoruba call. They say okuninu la vin betita. That which is able to strengthen him to run, the fuel, he has run out of fuel. So if you put him on the pitch with somebody who does not run at all, me like this, I don't jog or run every day, I'll just dust him, clear his record. Hallelujah. I may not even clear his previous record, but it will be on record that I ran faster than Usain Bolt. Because he did not eat. Amen. So, no matter how skillful, brilliant, masterful, anything, if you don't feed, you will be a weakling. The pastor was saying one of the major strategies in war is to make sure soldiers don't have access to food. The moment they are starving, forget it, you have won the war. So imagine that we are not feeding on God's word and we're expecting to be prayerful. I want to be a prayerful man. You will not be prayerful. Amen. You will pray to a point where you now start praying. Lord, make me prayerful. have you got into that state before? You pray, you see that it's not working. God, give me the spirit of prayer. Let me pray. Because you are tired. What fuels prayer is the word. Hallelujah. The word is the fuel for prayer. You know, people will say, when you are tired in your body, you cannot pray. It's not true. It is not true. The mind is more powerful than the body. That's why you can be dozing and you still want to pray. You still want to pray. How many of you have prayed in your sleep before and you woke up praying? Yes. Your mind is not tired. Your mind is active. So the body is tired and you are weak. And then, you know, sometimes I'm done eating, I'm already tired. I say, let me just spend a while praying, maybe 30 minutes. And I'm praying. And I'm tired and I'll pray. Hallelujah. But you know, there have been other times when I was not enriching my mind with the word of God. Those were my own experiences in those days. It was a struggle. So the emphasis was on the attitude, how to be a prayerful man. And then I was struggling. In fact, one day I said, I'm going to pray 6 hours. I was alone in Ghana. And I just got there. So I knelt by the bed. Prayed my life out. Check the time, 26 minutes. We die here today. Pray. By the time it got to 2 hours, I was like, who even sent me? Who sent me? 6 hours. I'm a man of my word. And I just heard a message then that says, if you say you pray 6 hours, make sure you stay there. Ah, I will be. I stood. When I finished that session, beloved, for weeks, the idea of prayer was scary. I did not want to near that bed where I prayed. I did not to kneel down. Ah, it was scary. The idea was scary. Prayer. Praise God. These are people who say, let's come for school of prayer. By the time they come, you know, I used to emphasize, make sure you get well fed before coming. Some people will not obey it. They'll come here. They'll not be struggling. Some people will look like they are lost in the meeting. It's not in the vision, no. Brother, pray. He's struggling. Some people call me very late, and they come, Lord Jesus, I give you praise. They'll be singing, they'll be gingering themselves. I'm like, Eli, you're my top cousin. Amen. You use all your energy to sing. And then you just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's not reverence for God, though. What is it, eh? Goes on his knees. Thank you, Jesus. I give you all the praise. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Omnipotent. Well, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. The guy is tired. Hallelujah. So it's not first about trying to be prayerful. We are emphasizing attitudes in the body of Christ. We should emphasize the substance that bets the attitudes. Amen. There's a substance that bets the attitudes, which is the word. Hallelujah. So a man cannot produce beyond what he has taken in regularly. So Romans 12:2, it is the word that transforms you into a praying man. It is the word that transforms you into a man that walks in love. It is the word that transforms you into a man that forgives. The Bible does not say, now that you are in Christ, endeavor to just be doing everything. It gives you a prescription. Be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So before you think of the transformation, you must think of what? The renewing of the mind. How do I get renewed? Look at Colossians 1. We're going to read all through Colossians 3. And then I want to show you something very important. Something very important and key. Colossians 3. Renewing happens through knowledge. So when it says be transformed by the renewing of the mind, it must be that you are getting ready to busy yourself and your heart with the word of God. That is the only way a man will be renewed. Colossians 3 from verse 1. Glory be to God. Colossians 3, 1. Bible says, if ye then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ who is alive appears, then you also will appear with him where? In glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. When it says your members, it means put to death that which manifests in your members. Hallelujah. What showcases itself through your fleshly faculty or your body. So put it to death. It now says evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So sons of disobedience, you are not children of disobedience anymore. And then it says, but don't allow their conduct and the lifestyle you were used to, don't allow it feature in your life today. Amen. Now look at verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man, which is deeds, and have put on the new man, who is what? Renewed in what? In knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Glory to God. So, how do we get renewed? Knowledge. Knowledge according to Christ. Amen. Now look at verse 11. Bible says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on humility, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, or even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, it's giving them instructions, right? Telling them how to live. But do you know, in the same chapter, he has already shown them how to produce those conducts. So look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were what? Called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let's all read together. Let the word of God of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're going to stop. Yeah, we're meant to read from 1 to 17. So I said to you that I wanted to show you something. Verse 10 and verse 16 are the key things to note when it comes to living the transformed life that Paul was, you know, demanding from these guys. He was showing them how to live your lifestyle. But verse 10 and verse 16 show you the how. The new man is renewed in knowledge. Glory to God. According to the image of him who created him. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, those instructions, those ones, they are very key. If a man will walk in forbearance and walk in love and in kindness, if a man will have humility, humility is not wearing something that does not look so good. Hallelujah. Humility is not many of these things. In fact, you can even bow your heart to a man like this, your head rather, and say, good morning, sir. And you are not bowing in your heart. Amen. The humility is about the fruit of the Spirit. If a man will bear all those fruits, it must be a man that allows the word of God to dwell within him. How? Richly. Glory to God. Richly. Back to Romans 12, 2. Let me start attempting to close. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Hallelujah. You know something beautiful about habit? Habit is formed, you know. The way you have formed the habit of not listening to God's word daily, you can form a habit of always listening. Till it becomes your habit. that when you wake up, your mind will just go there. Habit is formed. And habitual living is the way to live. You form a habit to a point where it has become a part of you. Glory to God. There's something called muscle memory. It just registers it. That this is your routine. Sometimes, you know, I don't know how people use the toilet and not flush. Do you understand? You know, because I don't remember flushing, but I always flush. But I don't remember when I did it. I've gotten so used to it. Leaving my house, I cannot leave light on. So, I may go out, I won't even remember. If you ask me, did you put off your light? I'll say, yes, I did. But I can't remember if I did. But it's already a habit. I'm going on like, oh, may I love it? Praise God. For some people also, it is a habit to leave everything, you know, they are rich in Christ. Praise God. Leave the fan, leave the everything, hope everything, because they are not yet paying the bills. The moment you marry, hallelujah, as a bachelor, you enjoy everything. The wealth of the Gentiles is yours. You enjoy everything. Put on light. I need to tell some of these guys now. Hey, put fan on. Say, hey, emoji. When we should start collecting NEPA money from you? The day you first pay, 1 month, and they bring, God help you, you're not even using prepaid. They bring 18K. First month. Kill and low. Praise God. You know, those are the questions people used to ask. Kill and low. Kill and low. Fridge, freezer, microwave, iron. By the time we count everything, you now sit down. You come and be later. Praise God. But you know, the reason why it shook you was because you were not paying before. So, you now start adjusting your habits. In the night, you say, does everywhere have to be bright? Amen. You know, if we put off the light, it will give us cinema effect. When we watch TV, let's put off the light. Even in the night, you not put off the light. Let alone the day. Praise God. You are careful about how you do things. You used to use water anyhow before and just go and pump. You use water like this. It's the one you used to wash the clothes, you used to flush. You start very creative things. Hallelujah. How did you get there? I was just talking about habit. Habit is formed. A man forms a habit regularly, it becomes your life. That's the same way you can have a habit of always waking up and you know today I'll feed on God's word. It becomes a part of you. You don't want to do without. Your mind is already conditioned to it. Your mind is drawn to it in the day. This note has not started. And then you are delighting in it. It's a habit. Glory to God. So for all those habits we are trying to form, you know, all other habits, the habit that produces them is that I devote myself to God's word every day. I'm a learner of God's word. Hallelujah. Romans 12 and verse 2. So be ye transformed by what? And do not be conformed to... If you don't renew your mind, would you be conformed to this world? So, again, is it simple now? If you find a Christian who is conformed to this world in his attitude, the diagnosis is clear, Abby. It is because he is not what? Renewing his mind. What do we renew our minds with? The knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So such a man is not renewing his mind. In fact, if you look at this text carefully, renewing the mind. The word renewing, let's write, is the Greek word anakinosis. The word renewing is the Greek word anakinosis. Anakinosis. Which also means to renovate. Or to have a complete change for the better. To renovate. How many of you have gone to a renovated apartment before? And as you entered, you didn't know you have come there before. You've always been going there, but when they now renovated the space, you didn't know you've been there before. A different change entirely. Hallelujah. A different change. To renovate. The word transformed is the Greek word metaphor. Anakinosis. Did I spell it? A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S. So this one is transformed. M-E-T-A-M-O-R P-H-O-O. Anakinosis. What does it mean? This one, what does it mean? It means to transform or to change into another form totally. That's what it means. Into another form, we look at you and we cannot recognize you because of the life you are now living. It's so far from what you used to be. From being hot-tempered to suddenly this guy is now gentle. Ah! That's a metaphor. The man is transformed entirely into a new thing. It also means to transfigure. That's the word translated transfigured. And Matthew 9 verse 2, which was used for Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was transfigured before them all. You know, when they saw Jesus, they knew it was Jesus, but he looked different from how he had looked in their midst. The Bible says his clothes was bright. No laundry on earth could wash like that. Hallelujah. Everything. So everything is changed. That's what Paul is saying happens to the man that feeds on the word of God, that renews his mind with the word of God. A complete change. Hallelujah. Several years ago, a friend of mine, we were having a chat, then I told her, I said, see, if you really want to be transformed, then you need to take your commitment to God's word more seriously. And I said, just pick your Bible and read. Read it like a novel. Don't try to study anything for now. Just be reading, you know, because I didn't even trust if she could do all those systematic, underlining things, checking Greek words. So I just said, just read. Read it like a novel. She said, like a novel, because the Bible is not a novel. I am not saying it's a novel. I said, read it like a novel. Do you know when you read newspapers, you don't take notes like that, but you remember a lot of things you've read when you need it. So I just read. So she was very skeptical. She said she didn't even consider it. Then she got home, she opened her system, and as she opened her system, she saw a notepad with the name of a particular prominent and popular preacher, a lady, a woman. And it just came to her to open it. So she opened it, and as she opened it, the preacher said the same thing I said to her, and she now decided to give it a try. You know? People just respect popular figures and authorities. So she decided to give it a try. She'll come back from school every day and she'll just read. She said she got lost in the arts. She'll just be reading. Then one day, she was the class captain. Then one day she went to class. And as they were in their usual way, some people would not submit assignments. Some people would come late and still give her attitude. As she was marking attendance, that thing happened again. They were giving her attitude. Some people annoyed her. She said she was so calm. She could not believe it. She could not explain what had happened to her. In fact, she said it was after she left the scene, she remembered, what was that? She said, in fact, the highlight for her was that she looked at one of them that gave her serious trouble, and she looked at him and said, man, this guy needs help. And then she began to pray for him. You know, he needs help. Why should somebody be like this? And she began to pray for him and just felt sympathy for him. What will have provoked that before? So she could not. The mail is still in my inbox. She sent me a long mail. She could not believe it. That is what is called transformed. Hallelujah. The man has been what? Transformed. Transfigured. There's a vast difference between who she was and who she is now. And Paul is saying that only comes by the renewing of the mind. Glory to God. The renewing of what? Of the mind. There's a last word there. The word prove. It says that you may prove what is that acceptable, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove there. The word prove there is the Greek word dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. Dokimazo. Prove. Which could mean to test. The word prove here is the Greek word dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O, which could mean to test. It could also mean to judge. It could also mean to discern. You should be writing. It could mean to test, to judge, to discern. It could also mean to allow and to choose. To allow and to choose. Glory to God. So it is not merely just testing and saying, this is right. It is discerning God's will to a point where you do it. And if you look at the flow of the text, it's clear that the discerning or the proving and judging there is not merely for saying this is right, this is bad. It is to do it. Because he already says the man is transformed. A transformed man is not one who just knows the will of God. It's a man who does the will of God. Hallelujah. What do we do with God's will? Is it just to know it? We are to do God's will. So the proving there is to choose God's will. You are transformed, you are renewed to a point where you are able to choose the will of God in every situation. Hallelujah. It has become your own. Glory to God. It has become your own. Look at how this word is also used at Philippians 1. Philippians 1:10, but we'll read from verse 9 to 11. So the proving is not for the sake of saying, ah, this is right, this is accurate, this is true. The proving is for the sake of doing it. Glory be to God. Philippians in chapter 1, from verse 9 to 11. Glory to God. Everybody, get up. Now, move around, shake your body. Shake your body, get up, stretch, alright, sit down again, let's continue. I didn't say do a full workout too. I saw a brother doing like this. He's not like that, just stretch. Just do full workout, you sleep out. Amen. So what did I just show you now? When you are in your private space and it feels like you're getting tired in your body, get up, stretch. That's how to receive God's word. Come here during the week when I'm here in the morning with some guys. Come and see, our pastor and member, that's how we are all, you know, acting. I'm receiving it. And when I see my back is paining, I get up, I stretch. Sometimes I will look at the gym and say, God, you know. Yes, now I'll go back again. That's it. That is how to learn. Amen. Okay, I'm already getting tired. Posture, okay. That just sleeps off. Some people are so gifted, they are sleeping with their eyes open. Hallelujah. The man is asleep, you will not know. And he's sleeping. Some people, they are sleeping like this. The usher notices. As the usher is coming, they open their eyes. They have a signal for knowing when they are approaching them. It's too bad. Before he moves close, he just opens his eyes. You thought I was sleeping. You were sleeping. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Hallelujah. You know, there are the other ones who, by the time you approach them, you say, Jesus. we used to have a man like that in this church some time ago. The man, you cannot catch him. You know, they fast asleep. But you know, one day, the prayer session was over. And we were already listening to God's word. So as he woke up, he just continued, Jehovah! Who is this? Hallelujah. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in what? In knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. That word approve, there's the same word, dokimazo. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may what? Be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? Who produces the fruit of righteousness? You know, Jesus did not just give you righteousness. He's also the one that produces the fruits of righteousness. How? When his word, when you are bound in his word, in knowledge and discernment. That's when you are now able to approve the things that are excellent. So the approval there also, you can see clearly, it's about choosing that which is of God. Bearing fruit. Glory to God. This does not come cheap. Glory to God. This does not come what? So fix your hearing and receiving. Guys, I've been screaming this for the past 3 weeks. Fix your hearing and receiving. If you come back here next week and you don't feed on God's word, every other person is singing, getting lost in worship and just, you know, being reckless in their abandonment towards God. And then you are there wondering, what's going on here? Is it not this song? No. Is it not this simple song that we all know? Praise God. It's because your heart is not enriched. So you will now be the odd one out of us. Yesterday they brought a man to come and pray. What? No, it was not yesterday, on Friday. So a group of people had an impromptu prayer meeting in church. I was here sitting listening to message, and then I just saw people come around. They were coming in, they came to pray. The plan for them was to pray from 5 to 7. And then past 8, they were still praying. Now, during the prayer time, they could not stop. It was great. They were praying past 8. But during the prayer time, around to 8, one of them saw a disciple that they have been trying to reach. He's not serious, he's not stable. Brought him in and said, oh, yeah, join us. So the guy came, joined them. Then people that came since 5 were not checking time. Next thing I saw him, he looked at them. So I went to meet that guy. You better discharge this guy. He cannot pray. He will struggle. So he said, oh yeah, go. We gave him Fanta. Praise God. So we are going to see you. Make sure you come. Let's start teaching. So I told him, I said, we are going to start teaching him God's word. He will not flow. He will not be able to pray. 1 minute or 2 minutes will be like 1,000 years. Because what enriches the heart of a man to sustain prayer? Do you know what prayer is? You are praying to somebody you cannot see. And you think you'll be there. The consciousness of that person must be there. That is what makes people stay in prayer. As you are there, you are so conscious of him. So you stay there. But once the consciousness is there, forget it. You just become an accurate timekeeper. Glory to God. So look at this. If the word of God does not dwell in your heart, for instance, worship is in vain. Mark chapter 7 verse 6 to 7. Very important. Worship is in vain. Mark 7, 6 to 7. Let me show you some very important things as we round off now. Mark 6, 6 to 7. Mark 6, 6 to 7. Hallelujah. Sorry, Mark 7, 6 to 7. Are we all there? Mark 7, 6 to 7, are we all there? If you are there, say yes, I'm there. Alright. Mark 7, 6 to 7. And he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You see that? They draw near to me with their lips, their worship, their singing, their sacrifices of praise, but their heart is far away from me. Why? Because they are teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When the knowledge of God is not the foundation, every other thing is in vain. Glory to God. That's when people now begin to serve with eye service. The only time you pray is when you notice somebody is around you, so you want to look prayerful. The only time you give is when somebody is observing. Hallelujah. Some people are not even, they are not happy when they give to people and the people don't talk about it. Write the post and say, I celebrate you, sir. You know, thank God you came through for me. That's when it's fulfilled. A man that is giving over to the word of God, what satisfies you is the giving itself. Not when somebody now starts singing your praise. You know, you even have to beg people to say, don't talk about it, don't bother. Because it was not for eye service. Hallelujah. It was doing service unto the Lord. The Lord that sees in secret rewards where? Openly. So it's not about what anybody notices. It's a genuine and authentic change that has come your way. And you're living for Jesus. Hallelujah. You're living for Jesus. So imagine the word vain here means fruitlessly. They are worshipping fruitlessly. It's to no profit. Amen. Because knowledge is not there. Like I said the other time, people are singing and you are not excited. You are saying, is it not this song we all know? You are just there. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh. Then the keyboardist now comes. Da, 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 hey, I'm no longer a slave. You are a slave. You are a slave to the keyboardist. Praise God. He is a slave that acts that way. Because you don't need keyboardists to talk to your daddy. Pray, conversation here on the flow. Everybody, what she? Praise God. She now comes and starts playing. You don't need keyboard. So, that's the reason why people cannot do it when they're alone. Because what they are banking on is the atmosphere. But it's beyond the atmosphere. It's about the art of the man. Glory to God. The art of the man. Do you know you can sing all day without anybody influencing it? How many of you have had experiences of songs playing in your heart? Melodies welling up. Yes! And you are enjoying it. You are just singing to God. In such scenarios, it's not about whether you are singing on key. It can be off key. It can be on key. It can be about the key. It can be around the key. It can be under the key. It can be over the key. It can be above the key. Amen. It can even key into the key. Anything. It doesn't matter. It's a reckless abandon to the Lord. Hallelujah. But when you want to lead in church, you say, I give it to the singer. Amen. Because if you go off key, the keyboardist has to wait. So it's only on, in such organization, we have to be particular about who is singing on key. But when it comes to your personal singing, it does not matter. Hallelujah. What edifies you is the content of the word, of the song. So without the knowledge of God, forget it. Everything else becomes a mere routine. Everything else becomes acting to a script. Glory to God. So we need an honest appraisal of our work, of our commitment. How committed am I really to God's word? How committed am I to God's word? Am I really committed? Am I really committed? I want you to chart a course for your life, schedule to say at least for the next 6 months. I'm not going to say start with at least 1 month. No, just have a schedule at least for the next 6 months. I'm going to stay faithful to this, listening to someone every day and taking notes as a student. I'm going to have it. I'm not going to give an excuse of I'm so busy. Because if you are so busy to a point where you cannot listen to God's word, there's a problem. There's a problem. Why should you be that busy? Amen. Jesus, God in the flesh, was not that busy. That was the word in the flesh. And he paid attention to the word. Hallelujah. So you should never be that busy that there's no room for the word of God. Mark's Gospel chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. People who are so busy, they don't have time for the word of God, are a classic example or a case of what Jesus described here. Mark 4, 18 to 19. Hallelujah. Mark 4, 18 to 19. Bible says, now these are the ones shown among tongues, that they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes what? So it means the word can be to no effect in the life of a man. Why? Because he allows the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, I told you a man's desire is evidenced by his what? His pursuit. So don't tell me, I have a desire for the word. And we see that you are investing most of your time and effort in how to make money, in how to armor, in how to blow. You are so giving to it. Nothing wrong with it. But it must be sequel to a pursuit of God's word. A commitment to the things that matter. So the man is choked. What separates the good ground from these guys? Look at verse 20. What separates the good ground? Verse 20, Mark 4. Let's all read together. I want to go. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, receive it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You know, it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting that the word receive there is the word that just does not mean, it doesn't just mean to accept something. The word received there in the Greek is the word that means to delight in. If you check your Strong's Greek concordance, it shows you that that's the definition. They hear the word and then they delight in it. It also means to love something. Hallelujah. That's the Greek word, dekomai. It means to love something, to accept and delight yourself in it. It also means to yield to something. That is what separates the good ground from the one choked by thorns and every other thing. So while that one was busy about the things of this world, this one gives priority to God's word. He loves the word. He delights in it. Hallelujah. And then he begins to bear fruit. The other one forgets the word, gets engrossed with the affairs of life, and it becomes unfruitful. Does this sound like Psalm 1? Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Can we all recite? Hey, wait. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Let's go. Part of sinners, no? But where? His delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates. His delight. So, what was the evidence of his delight? He's meditating in the word day and night. There's no desire without pursuit. Amen. Meditate in it. And it shall be like what? Planted by... Have you seen it? So, one is unfruitful. One bears fruit. We know why. One is planted, one stays and treasures and loves and prioritizes the word. Another one allows the affairs of this life to overtake his passion and his pursuit. That's why he's unfruitful. Glory to God. That's why he's unfruitful. So, Note this as we're rounding off. Note this. Number one, see, the approach will not change. Daily. It's a daily commitment. A daily commitment. The approach that works is daily listening. The approach that works is daily listening. The approach that works is an academic approach. Where I sit, you know, do you know what we have been doing this morning? Do you know this is academic? Where I'm teaching, I'm showing you text of the Bible, I'm showing you original words, it's academic. In that kind of setting, you get tired. Do you know you can go for a conference on how to make money, even a conference on how to make money, and get tired in your body? Because you are investing effort. You are sitting down. Sitting down is not convenient all through the posture. So your back is hurting you, but you know you stay there because of love of money. You don't want to miss any of the slides. Amen. So it's an academic approach. That is what works. Number three, you must discern the use of your time. You must discern the use of your time. Because listen, whether you use time well or not, time will go. This last week, recommended teachings, if you have done it, if you have not done it, last week is gone. Whether you use the time well or you don't, that time will go. So look at Paul's instruction, Ephesians 5:15-21. Academic approach. People used to say, don't read your Bible in English, or don't read it in the Holy Ghost. What do you even mean? Someone says, as you are reading it, begin to talk in tongues over it. The Bereans were not born again. They said the scriptures daily and they became born again. Because what works is academic. You are putting facts together. Facts together. Joining facts in your mind till it makes sense. So it's not about reading it in the Holy Ghost. It's about paying attention to the facts as they are laid out. So it is academic. So discern the use of your time also and use it wisely. Ephesians 5:15-21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 21. Glory to God. Ordinarily sitting under this sermon this morning, if you paid attention well, you will see the impact of this meeting after this meeting. If you did. But if you are just here, when will they finish? And you are distracted, you will leave this place like you did not come. It's the attitude, the focus. Ephesians 5:15-18, or to 21 rather. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, but as what? Wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. Circumspectly means diligently. Don't be like fools. Be wise. Be diligent. Diligent in what? Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but do what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you understand the will of the Lord? You have to study, right? You have to study. So it begins to list how to be wise. It begins to point out and highlight how to redeem the time. Because the word redeem there is the Greek word exagorazo, which means to buy up time. It means to buy it up for spiritual use. So my time is running by itself. I now take time and use it for that which is essential. And it begins to list out those things. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Read, study, listen to God's word. Number two, speaking what? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled by what? With the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. I study God's word. I sing spiritual songs. I pray. I submit myself to the brethren. The community of saints. I should not be too busy that I'm out of fellowship with saints. I should not be too busy that I cannot study God's word. I should not be too busy that I cannot sing spiritual songs and give thanks and pray. I should not be that busy. Being that busy is to live not as the wise, but as fools. Being that busy is to be circumspect, which means to be diligent. Glory to God. So you must go into this week and prioritize your receiving. You must go into this week and prioritize your receiving. Delete that thing in your mind that says you don't have time. Just sit down. After this, we just sit down and say, okay, so this is how I want to start spending my time. Glory to God. And I just say to you, if you are in such a situation or in a fix where really there is no time for spiritual things, it is time to step back. Glory to God. It is time to step back. Because the world will drive you insane. The world will drive you mad. When Jesus says in the world you have tribulation, you know, we saw it in our devotional. The word tribulation there is the word that also means pressure. The word has pressures. It will run you mad. Glory to God. It's a deception. Don't say I'm too busy. It's time to step back. It's time to step back. And do a reassessment. This is not how I want to live my life. Many years back, I knew how I wanted to live my life. So anything that wants to tamper with it, I just cut it off. It must never tamper with it. I must have time for God's word. I must be able to prioritize God's word and do other things. You know, a young lady in this place told me that she never knew she could have time to listen to God's word 2 hours every day. This is someone that goes to work every morning and comes back 8-9 in the night. And somehow, because we're talking about a need to prioritize God's word, she even found a space to listen 2 hours every day. She said the result has been remarkable. Her sensitivity, the way she reacts to things, not getting irritated easily, the way she actions, everything changed in 2 weeks. Said, well, don't be too excited yet. Let's continue this at least 6 months. Every day, meditating in the word of God. Hallelujah. Every day, receiving like you should. And let's see if your life will not change. Glory to God. Your life will change. Hallelujah. Your life will change. Alright, so recommended teachings for the week. That's right. And then endeavor to download or get it from the technical, PNC and technical department. Recommended teachings for the week. This thing called rapture. And School of the Word, March 2018, conformity to Christ. So we have conformity to Christ. In that old School of the Word, we had conformity to Christ. We had a question and answer session. And then we had Hebrews, study help. So just ask them, School of the Word, March 2018. And then the other one, this thing called Rapture. Very powerful series that will bless your life. That's the recommended teaching for this week. Now, if you have not listened to the one we recommended, don't move to this one. Just start where we started from. Glory to God. And when you are now done with that. So that means in this place we have people catching up with, you know, with those things on time. There are some of you in this place who have enough time to listen to 3 in a day. Because of the phase you are in. Maybe you are job hunting and you are not that busy now. Then you can listen to even 2 of it or 3. Just make progress. And then you will see the impact of this commitment in your life. Glory to God. Alright, share with your neighbor what you learned in the next 5 minutes as we close this service. The next 5 minutes. So you share in 5 minutes and then your neighbor also shares with you. If your neighbor has nothing to share, just know your neighbor did not listen. And feel free to raise your hand and say, I don't have a neighbor.
At your feet, oh Lord, every day of my life, I will learn at your word, oh, the word, every day of my life, I will sit at your feet, oh, Jesus, every day of my life, I will learn of your word.
Oh, every day of my life,
I will sit at your feet,
oh Lord.
At your feet.
And you've been it all
out. Every day of my life, I will let of your word.
Oh, like a child in the crib of his mother. I will rest in your hand. I will cast all my worries on your shoulder. Trust in you.
Like a child in the grip
of his mother.
Trust in you.
One more time.
Like a child in the grip
of his mother. I will rest
in your hand.
I will cast all my worries on your shoulder.
Every day of my life,
and I will sit at your feet, oh, at your feet, oh Lord. It's a daily thing for me every day.
Every day of my life,
I will sit at your feet. Oh, every day
of my life,
I will. You can sing along now. Oh, every day
of my life,
I will learn
of your word.
Oh, I will cast all my worries on your shoulder. Trust in you.
All the way.
I will cast all my worries on your shoulder.
Trust in you.
I will cast all my worries on your shoulder. Trust in you all the way. This one thing is needful. This I have chosen. This one thing is needful. This I have chosen. Everybody lift your voice and say, this one thing is needful.
This I have chosen.
Oh, to live in your teachings every day, to receive your word. To not be found anywhere else but in your word, Lord.
This I have chosen.
I'm making a commitment every day to look into your word. I'll be found beholding your will, oh God. I will not be too busy. I will not be so busy. I made up my mind.
I made up my mind
to receive
this one
every day.
This I have chosen.
Every day of my life.
I will sit at your feet. Oh, 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 every day.
Every day of my life.
Of your word. Oh, every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
I will sit at your feet.
Hey.
At your feet, oh
Lord. Every day of my life.
I will learn
of your word.
Like a child in the brink of his mother, I will rest
in your hand.
Hey, I will cast all my worries on your shoulders.
Trust
in you all the way, like a child. Of his mother,
I will rest in your hand,
and I will cast all my
worries
on your shoulders. Trust in you,
I will rest
in you, Lord. I will not be worried. I'll stay at your feet, oh Jesus, and I'll not be moved. I will not be distracted. Oh, I'll not be entangled. Hey, like a child, I'm going to rest my head in your will, oh God. Trust in you all the way. Trust in you all the way. Trust in you all the way, yeah.
This I am chosen.
It's an expression of our trust when we don't get carried away by every other thing. And we sit still at his feet to learn and to receive every day.
This I am chosen.
I will not be distracted.
This
I am chosen.
This I am chosen.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's all sing together. Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
I will sit
at your feet.
Oh, every day.
Every day of my life.
I will learn
of your word.
Oh, every day of my life.
I will sit at your feet.
Oh, every day of my life. Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
I will learn
of your word.
Oh, because this one thing is needful.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life. Learn.
I will sit.
This one thing is needful.
Feet.
This is that one thing that is needful. Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
I will learn
of your word.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
I will sit
at your feet.
Because this one thing is needful.
This one thing is needful.
This I am chosen.
This I am chosen.
Oh, this one thing is needful.
This one thing is needful.
This I am chosen.
This I am chosen.
Let's rise to your feet. To our feet, hallelujah. Just give him praise. It's a commitment of your heart and your will and your days and your time.
Let us give the word our best days and our times, our best days and our times. It's a commitment of yourself, of your will, of your time to the Lord. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Just a few minutes. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Just to serve you, Lord. Just to receive of your word. Just to stay seated at your feet and to learn and to receive and to grow. Just to be nurtured into doing your will, oh God. This is my passion, my desire, and my pursuit. Make sure you are praying in the Spirit. Jesus, just to be found seated and learning. Jesus looked at Mary and Martha. Martha was busy trying to save. Jesus says, you are encumbered by many things, but Mary has chosen that good path which no one is able to take away from her. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that path. What was Mary doing? Seated at his feet, learning. That is the first thing. That is the essential thing. That is the most important. This is what begs every other thing. It's in consuming the word of God. We are full of fervent service to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat quickly. Glory to God. Were you blessed today? Were you blessed today? Will you continue the week being blessed? Alright. Continue to receive of the word of God. If you're worshiping with us for the first time in church today, I'd like to see you. Just signify by waving your hand first time in church. Okay. Take the step further and get on your feet and let's walk. Get on your feet and let's walk.
Jesus Christ the Lord. We are GSK.
And we love you.
And we love you with the love of God. We are fully represented. Jesus Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah. This is TSK Church Lagos, the Salvation Kingdom, giving you an eternal relevance. We can't walk around, shake you, give you a warm hug because of the restrictions by the government, but then we can wave at you, right? Let's wave at them. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Good to see you. We love you. And then we'd like to see you after the meeting, just briefly, get to know you more and show you a bit of our own hospitality. You can have your seats. Let's give our offerings.
This I have chosen.
This one thing is needful. If you are listening online, you can also give online. And if you are not online and you don't have cash on you, you want to give through your card, you can check in on the church group and give.
I'm a student of the world.
Teacher, preaching the gospel of Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, service continues here on Wednesday. Live broadcast from tomorrow also continues. Every day with Jesus, we're always here, 7 a.m. to teach. It's a live broadcast. You can tune in anywhere and be blessed by the word of God. Just some 30, 40, 50 minutes of your time to start your day. And then on Friday, okay, on Saturday, praise God. Or the Holy Ghost is about to choose a meeting for us. On Saturdays, we come here to go out to teach and preach the gospel in our community. Evangelism is committed to every believer. The only way you thrive in it is to be a part of an assembly that emphasizes it and makes you do it. Glory to God. And that's what we offer here at TSK Church. Both pastors, members, every one of us will go out to evangelize, you know. But this coming Saturday, we'll not be going out for evangelism because we're having school of prayer. Glory to God. And school of prayer is going to start immediately after every day with Jesus. 7 to 7:30. So from 7:30 to 1:30, praise God, we're going to be praying fervently. Glory to God. Just 6 hours. Say to your neighbor, just 6 hours. But if you were like me, back then, it will be like 40 hours. Amen. So I want to counsel you to not come for school of prayer until you have enriched your mind this week with the word of God. By that, you can have two interpretations. If I do not enrich my mind, let me not come. No, that's not what I'm saying. Come having enriched your mind with the word of God. If you don't enrich your mind with the word of God, come and suffer the consequence. So that you will learn next time. Praise God. Still come, but you will suffer the consequence of not enriching your mind with the word of God. So, school of prayer this Saturday. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And on Sunday, we are going to have incense. What is incense? Incense is a time of ministering to the Lord, singing songs, spiritual songs. I'll give a short exhortation and we just sing our hearts out to the Father. Glory to God. Alright, let's rise to our feet as we close. Take a family song.